Hey, gang, welcome to this episode of the Dealer Playbook. I'm sitting down with my pal, Aaron Richmond. We're going to be talking all about the dealership marketing mix. Stay tuned.
The car business is rapidly changing, and modern car dealers are meeting the demand. I'm Michael Cirillo, and together we're going to explore what it takes to create a thriving dealership and life in the retail automotive industry. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with subject matter experts that are designed to help you grow. This is the Dealer Playbook.
Okay. You know, sometimes you discover things like it's cold in Regina and this is your first podcast. And so I'm like, we got to dig into this. Aaron Richmond, the Chief Revenue Officer.
That's me.
Of S Media. This is a new thing, Chief Revenue Officer.
Ish, yeah. I've been at S Media for quite a while. Started as a customer success manager, helping dealerships, moved into ad operations, kind of running the agency side of things for them. And most recently, just kind of collected all of the customer facing teams. So I get to really inform the dealership experience here, which I'm
pumped. Well, congratulations. That's amazing.
Thanks.
First podcast, what were you feeling coming into this? I got to know.
Oh, you know, I'm excited to get the opportunity to talk with someone like yourself and share some of my knowledge, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'm just completely full of, you know, BS, but we'll find out.
I don't think so. I don't think an organization like S Media brings someone in to be the chief revenue officer if they're full of BS.
Chances are good.
So no. I'm excited about this, especially, you know, obviously my affinity for anyone who hails from my home country. So Got to shout out Canada and just say it's always a delight to connect with y'all. You guys are doing some tremendous things. The reason, you know, for those of you watching and listening, how this all came about, why I invited Aaron to come on the show is I had posted something about really getting a grasp of a dealership's marketing mix, how it's not just this or that. You know, what we typically think is run ad, get leads, sell car. And oh, if it could just be that simple. And you left a very insightful comment. And I was like, I got to have you on the show to just dig into this. So I want to start here. You mentioned you've been with S Media now for quite some time. You've climbed the proverbial ladder, so to speak. From your vantage point, what are you seeing that could just make the marketing mix maybe better understood and more efficient inside of a dealership?
Really connecting that customer experience. So what is happening for a customer when they're shopping in the digital space versus what is happening when they walk in or contact your dealership? And how do you make sure that that experience and that information, the language is consistent across the board? Because once a customer has clicked on an ad, they're in that dealership funnel and they are interacting with you, whether your team is talking to them or not. Right. So the language and the information that you're using on the website needs to match the language that your team is using in their calls or in their emails. And then again, the language that they're seeing or hearing in the store when they actually come in for those final pieces of the sale. Dealers don't think about that, or oftentimes don't think about that in terms of efficiency for your marketing, but you can spend a lot of money on ads. Most dealers do. And connecting that experience across the board is going to drive results. It's going to make those ads more impactful and more efficient.
Yeah. I love how you draw that parallel. You know, I think there's nothing worse this day and age than to make promises online that you can't fulfill on in the real world.
Nothing.
And I know there's still some people out there probably hanging on to the metaverse and saying, no, I want to buy a car in Meta with my avatar dressed in a gorilla costume. But in the real world, the way where places where things really work still, you know, having that connected experience makes so much sense to me. How do you recommend everyone getting on that same page and understanding, hey, like, marketing is to get people to raise their hand, variable operations, sales, what happens where the rubber meets the road, we're there to shake their hand and get the deal. How do you marry those two together to I guess, break down silos?
Yeah. So that again starts in the dealership with just how you're running your teams and your process, right? I think that it's essential for marketing to be included in sales meetings, in managers meetings, so that we understand, you know, what is the messaging going on in our marketing, and does that meet or align with what is happening in the store. If you don't have those teams truly connected, you're going to have marketing over here doing one thing and sales over here doing the other. And they're honestly going to, I've seen it where they butt heads all the time. And it's so common to see marketing as an afterthought for a dealership, or not an afterthought, but just like a piece of business over here that we just kind of let hang out and do its own thing. And you really need to integrate those two things together, or those departments together, to drive those results. Until you start getting marketing at the table with the rest of your teams, you're always going to have that inconsistent messaging and that inconsistent experience.
Yeah, it's like we got to bring them together into, I'm an advocate for this. I'd love your thoughts, but I feel like let's just stop calling it the sales team and the marketing team. Let's just start referring to the whole as a revenue team.
Yeah.
Because you are both responsible for it. But to your point, and I'm sure you know this, obviously working on in a marketing related firm on ads and all of those sorts of things. And I know having a marketing firm that somebody wakes up on the wrong side of bed in the morning and marketing is on the chopping block.
100%.
So breaking that down, how do we, you know, you talk about alignment, but what kind of conversations do you recommend having to really break down that barrier and be like, hey, whoa, it's not all about like marketing. Yes. But if you're saying, how come marketing is not selling me more cars? As a marketer, I'm inclined to be like, well, how come your sales team isn't perpetuating the marketing message with every welcome to ABC Motors, home of lifetime warranty? Have you heard about that program? No, we haven't. Well, listen, I'm so excited to tell you about it. But like, yeah, maybe it started as a marketing campaign, but I need everybody knowing about it. Yeah. What kind of conversation needs to happen there, in your opinion? Well,
I really think that's where you have to have those team meetings where you're talking about the campaigns and the initiatives going on, and like honestly reviewing what's going out in your marketing campaigns, also reviewing what's happening on your website. The website is often thought about as, or has traditionally been thought about as, an extension of the showroom, but in 2023, that's not the case anymore. I think we can all say one of the first interactions that a customer is going to have is on the website. So you need to make sure that your whole team knows what's on that website. And that comes down to just holding regular sessions about what's happening in marketing, what's on the website. And everyone needs to, you know, take the responsibility to audit that information. If just one person is doing it, it's really easy for there to continue to be that disconnect. But it should be the responsibility, just like the showroom is the responsibility of everyone that's in that building. The website should be the responsibility of everyone that's on that team, because it is oftentimes the first impression of one of those customers.
Yeah, I love it. It reminds me of conversations we would have. My buddy Jay Radke and myself, we would do these, we called them unworkshops. Actually, he still continues with the unworkshop.
He does. We're going to one tomorrow.
Are you? Oh, man. Well, I'm excited about that. I mean, I'd still be there if I didn't migrate down south to extremely southern Alberta.
You're missing out on winter and on workshops.
Yeah, I'm going to probably ride my motorcycle today. It's going to be fine. We're all going to be fine. Well, you know, we used to talk about this quite often at Unworkshop, which is we need to marry marketing to operation so that everybody is on the same page. How well do we know, to your point, the content that is on our website and the things that we're saying? And then maybe peeling back the onion a little bit deeper, do we understand across the organization the purpose of the marketing that we're doing?
Yes, 100%.
So how long does that take? How long should that take to sink in across an organization?
Well, I'm hesitant to give a time frame on that. I think you just really need a concerted effort, and it needs to be continuous. It's like anything, right? You're trying to change the habit of an entire organization. And that is not an easy thing to do for anyone who has led a team or run a business. It needs consistent and concerted effort, and it needs to come from all levels of decision makers and contributors. It can't just be, you know, one marketer trying to elbow their way in or one GM saying, you need to include marketing. Everyone has to understand the importance of integrating those teams to get the job done. Until you do that, you're gonna struggle.
Yeah, my our CRO at Flex, Emer, he's a 20-year Marine combat veteran, retired, you know, did a full 20, has the craziest stories, but he comes down to, like, what's the mission?
Yeah.
What's the mission? What's the mission? What's the mission? And he's like, and he'll say, you know, if you are the highest, I don't know the terminology, I'm the highest general or the newest Lance Corporal or whatever the rank is, and you ask any of them in between all the way from top to bottom what the mission is, they will say it in the exact same language, same words verbatim. And it just gets me thinking, to your point, what would the implications of that be if I pulled aside the newest sales rep, the VP of fixed, the VP of marketing, the VP of variable, and I said, what's the mission? And they go, the mission is to sell X number amount of vehicles by doing X, Y, and Z. Is it possible? What do you think?
I think it would be an interesting experiment.
Oh, spoken like a true marketer, an experiment. Yes, yes, yes. And then, of course, I mean, we add in that layer. I'd love your thoughts on this, how to mitigate perhaps emotional attachment to this, because marketing has become this very emotional thing. How do we mitigate emotional response to, do we even have time to conduct an experiment? That sounds like it's going to cost us money. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, the counter to that would be that it's already costing you money, right? Can you afford not to do this? You know, I think that's a problem that as marketers we've been dealing with, especially in the last 4 years of whatever the industry has been going through, right? We're up and down, we're all over the place, is, you know, okay, things are going bad, cut marketing, or, you know, things are going bad, we can't change anything right now. But at the end of the day, if you continue on the path that you're doing and expect to grow or expect to see success when you haven't historically, can you afford to keep going in that direction? I am a giant advocate for change and continuous improvement. And I think at the end of the day, if you're not embracing that change or looking to how you can improve, you're eventually going to stagnate or continue to see declining results.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes total sense. What are your thoughts about, you know, the last 3 years? So I've been in the car business now since I was about 17 years old. I've seen some ebbs and flows in that time. And certainly anybody that's come in the last 6 years has experienced some ebbs and flows. From your vantage point, where are we headed, you think, in the next couple of years? I mean, we know interest rates are crazy. We know inflation is crazy. We know that they're doing a lot of this to try and get us back to quote unquote normal, and that what we experienced over the last 3 years is not normal. But how do we navigate that from a marketing perspective?
Well, I want to, like, the word normal, I think, should just be thrown out the window, especially in the automotive industry. I don't think there is a normal anymore. And I think that, again, goes back to that change and process management. We're in an industry that is, you know, has been turned on its head. But, and like, we look at COVID as kind of the initiation of that. But I go back to when I started in digital advertising and marketing in 2008. And I started selling, you know, print ads to dealerships. And then
great time to start selling print ads.
So good. But there was a huge pivot and we went to websites and we had to educate dealers on why they needed a website and what digital advertising was, sure, and how to understand analytics. And so while, you know, the 2010s were very much still understanding that, there was a lot of change happening for dealerships that way. And then 2020 hit and it was just like, you have to embrace this now. Like you literally have no choice. And then, you know, in inventory and now we're on EVs, the change is happening more rapidly as we, you know, progress through the years. And I think that's an indication of technology and customer expectations in 2023. We really need to continue to adapt and adapt faster. And at the heart of that is just understanding what customers expect and want so that you can be successful. And what's guiding that is, you know, technological changes, engine changes, all of that. Keep up, right?
Keep up. Yes, it makes total sense. And with that, then, would you recommend, because a lot of people like to look back and they're going to use pandemic times as a benchmark. Is that, should we?
I'm a big fan of using historical analytics to understand where we've been and what was successful. And you can, to a degree, you know, use it as a benchmark in terms of, okay, we were here, we've made these changes, now we're here. But don't let it guide you in terms of what to do, which I know is tricky for, you know, you want someone to tell you what to do. But at the end of the day, you should be looking at what customers are doing in other industries and what customers are expecting to guide you in what to do, as opposed to your historical performance.
Yeah, that's great. It makes me think of, you know, guys like Gary Vee, who he always says that his strongest trait or ability was his knack for kind of seeing where things were headed. Never really, you know, looking back to a degree, obviously that's kind of a given in that he says, you know, I grew our wine business from 3 million to 60 million. So he obviously was looking back to measure that growth, but this idea of, but I see where things are going.
Yep.
And I think what you're saying, that's what's really impressed on me is like, yeah, get what you need to get from over here, but we need to adapt and move and shift and push the envelope and test new things. And the kind of the emphasis you placed that I'm taking is pay attention to the customers. Where are they going? It's like, okay, interest rates have hiked and inflation is a real thing. Okay. Well, the point of marketing is to move people to action. So figure out now, given these new, you know, trends, challenges, figure out how to move people to action.
100%.
Should we be comfortable with ebbs and flows? Like, obviously all of us in business, and I'm not even just talking about dealerships, we all want to see the hockey stick. But how granularly should we be looking at that hockey stick? Do we zoom in day by day? Is it month over month? Do we need to pull back even further? Like, what's your opinion on that?
Well, having worked with dealerships for a long time, I think that there's a tendency to be reactive and not necessarily. So it is, you know, you, and I'm sure you've had this experience in your own business where you'll get a call and be like, it's really slow this week. Let's do something. Right. And I think that everyone would benefit from pulling back a little bit, pull out, look at a higher level view and plan forward. Understanding that, you know, you can't predict what your inventory levels are going to be. You're at the mercy of your allotment and your OEM and the used car market, but you can, to some degree, based on historical performance and seasonality, use that data to inform your plans for the future. And then you're less reactionary. So when you do have that dip in the week, you know you've got a plan in place to move it forward. We do the same thing, you know, in my role. We're planning forward. We're, you know, putting things in action. And so, you know, while it might have been a slower month, we know that we've made the right decisions to counteract that. And ultimately, despite a small dip, we are trending in that hockey stick.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, gosh, if I looked at my investment portfolio at the beginning of pandemic, I would have lost my mind. And I'm so glad my brother-in-law, who's a financial planner, was like, don't you dare look. I'm going to change your password. I'm going to make sure you don't look. But push come to shove 3 years later. And he's like, and congratulations, you're up 40%. And I'm like, and it wasn't 40% from the lowest part. It was 40% from the initial event. And so it's like, oh, okay. Well, over time, it really went up. If I had looked at the day to day and saw cliffs and it would have freaked me out.
It's the whiplash effect, right? Where you're just, you don't, and I think that, again, goes back to what we talked about earlier with the vision and everyone rowing the same boat. If you've got that vision or that mission, rather, and everyone knows what that mission is, and you're all working together to get to it, you're going to go like this. You might have a dip here and there, but if you're looking at those dips only, you are going to get whiplash. You're not going to know where to look. You're not going to have that strong mission, that strong vision to guide you into that long-term success.
I feel like part of our onboarding new teams should be, we should mandatory make them watch The Last Dance on Netflix and be like, just watch what a real championship team looks like. There's wins. There are some severe losses. There's a little bit of drama. There's, you know, but it is that. I think, you know, what you said made me think of that, which is like in business, boy, do we love sports analogies and all those sorts of things. But to get a real inside look into what it looked like as it was happening, to realize what you're experiencing is normal. Don't give up. Don't panic.
Yep.
You know, be Jordan and play a championship game with the flu, you know, like it's going to happen. Yep. And get used to it. One last question as it pertains to technology. And of course, I know that you guys have some pretty awesome technology at S Media. What's your outlook on the use of technology in that? And I guess kind of a loaded question from the angle of we live in a day and age where technology is being developed so quickly.
Yep.
And AI has just, you know, OpenAI and all the different things have just, you know, expedited that.
Yep.
But it's also like, I feel like we've been lied to in automotive for the last 30 years where it's like, you know, you mentioned websites and I remember 08. It was like, you want to get more traffic, leads and sales? Yeah. Well, you need a website, you know, that's all you need. And it's like, okay. And then we realize, wait, maybe it isn't the field of dreams. And then, you know, whatever the heck else came out and, you know, it's just compounded for 30 years. And it's like, well, all you need is this new piece of tech and that'll solve all your problems. What's your outlook? I mean, do we get to a tech only position where it just all does it for us? Is there always going to need to be human intervention? Are we discrediting ourselves this much that we're just hyped up so much about tech? Like, what's your thought process on the tech landscape in marketing?
Whew, that is a lot. Well, I think to your point, there's a lot of tech out there that touts that it does stuff. And you really need to, especially as a dealer, dig into what it actually does. And does it do what they're saying it does? And from a marketing perspective, there's still going to need to be people operators. I think at the end of the day, tech is going to make our jobs a lot easier. It's going to allow scalability, smarter campaigns, better performance. You know, we've got like PMax on Google that's using AI and like, you know, right, objective driven efficiency. But at the end of the day, garbage in, garbage out. So we still need those people who have a solid understanding of the auto industry, because let's face it, it's pretty complex. And your market, you know, a dealer in rural Saskatchewan is not going to be the same, and no one knows where Saskatchewan is, so that'll be fun, as, you know, a dealer in Boston or Vancouver or Chicago. Sure. It's a very, very different market. Customers react differently to different things, and you need that people understanding to drive that. I don't think that's something that technology is going to be able to do for marketing in the foreseeable future. But happy to be proven wrong.
Love it. Well, and that kind of is full circle. That is the experiment of marketing. Thesis, deployment, result, performance, review. This is awesome. I've enjoyed this so much. How can those listening or watching get in touch with you?
Yeah. So smedia.ca. We do serve dealers in America, though. So happy to talk. Or on LinkedIn, you can find me.
Love it. Thank you so much for joining me on the Dealer Playbook Podcast.
I'm Michael Cirillo, and you've been listening to the Dealer Playbook Podcast. If you haven't yet, please click the subscribe button wherever you're listening right now. Leave a rating or review and share it with a colleague. Thanks for listening.